Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the 14th recording of the reading of The Secret of the Love of God, Ar-Sir, Ar-Hub Lillahi. This currently takes us up to where the writing of the call in the morning call that's at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific Time, carries us. And the intention of these readings is to, you know, eventually read the whole book, but do it at the pace that the writing is doing. So the recordings come weekly or every 2 weeks, according to how accelerated the writing is. We're now in the body of the book. We're in the fourth minor chapter of this major section, which is, this is entitled His Love for the Patient Ones. His love for the patient ones. And then we'll be reading about three chapters. Inshallah. Up through page 98. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawm din yak abudu yak astain. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين آمين آمين. Page 89. His love for the patient ones. As-Sabirin. It is expressed in his saying from the Quran 3:146, and Allah loves the patient ones. The patient ones are the ones who are afflicted by Allah, but they withhold their complaints to anyone but him, because he is the one who sent down the consuming affliction. And they did not cower for all that they suffered in the way of Allah, from 3:146. This is because they are able to endure it by Allah, even though it is difficult for them. And this suffering is necessary, because if they did not suffer from it, then it would not be considered the consuming affliction. They have not inclined to inactivity, but they find rest and tranquility with none but Allah, and seek refuge in Him to end their suffering. As the pious, worshipful slave, our master Ayyub, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "Harm has touched me, and you are the universally compassionate of all those who are compassionate." In this way, he raised his complaint to him alone and not to any other. Allah then praised him because he found him patient. Surely we found him to be steadfast and a blessed worshipper. Truly he was one who turns back to his Lord in repentance. Quran 38:44. The patient one complains to Allah and not to others. Complaining to Allah is in fact his duty, because if he did not complain to Allah, he would not be acknowledging the divine suppression, qahr. And he might imagine he could resist difficulty by himself. This would be a lack of politeness, adab, with Allah and the Prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the possessors of the best of manners and who have gnosis. So know, like them, that your patience is not by any other than Allah. It's not of your own self or state or power. Allah says, Be patient, and your patience is not but by Allah. So why are you proud when patience does not belong to you? It befits such a person to be humble. Allah has never afflicted his worshippers but to raise their complaint to him and not to others besides him. If they do this patiently, they are considered among the patient ones because they seek refuge in him, realizing their annihilation in him. And this is why the steadfast are the beloveds of Allah. One of Allah's names is the continuously patient one, the continuously patient, As-Sabur. I cannot but love the one to whom I see Allah give this special divine quality. There is a subtle secret here because he puts you in affliction in order to establish you in the station of patience because of his love for you. Patience comes in response to being harmed. We know that among his creatures are those who seek to harm Allah and his messenger, and he has described them for us in Quran 33:53. In order that we may recognize them and end the harm done to him, glory be to him, by preventing them from doing harm, by complaining only to him and asking to be relieved of it only by him, and by guiding them to spiritual maturity if they are ignorant of it, and seeking it ourselves. He named himself the steadfastly patient As-Sabur. Let us all know that if we complain to him regarding the consuming affliction that is sent down upon us, asking him to relieve us of it, this does not cause the quality of patience to depart from us, nor will our love for him depart from us, because his name, the steadfastly patient, never departs from him. It is narrated in a hadith that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "None is more patient in responding to harm than Allah, glory to him." His love for those who excel in benevolence, al-muhsinin. It is expressed in his saying, "Allah loves those who do the best," Quran 2:195. Excellence, ihsan, is one of his attributes. He is the excellent, benevolent one. Al-Muhsin, he is the beloved, and it is manifest within his self. The excellence, ihsan, attributed to the worshipping slave, by which he can be called the excellent, benevolent one, Al-Muhsin, is that he worships Allah as if he sees him. This means worshipping him as if witnessing him. Allah's excellence, ihsan, is the station, the maqam, of seeing his worshipping slave in motion and in action. This is expressed in his saying, "And Allah is witness to all things," Quran 58:6. "And he is with you wherever you are," Quran 57:4. His witnessing of everything is his excellence, ihsan, because by his witnessing, he preserves what he is witnessing from utter destruction. So every state in which the worshipping slave moves is from Allah's excellence, ihsan, toward him. for he is the one who moves him. This is why the bestowing of divine grace is called excellent benevolence. No one can purposely bestow gifts upon you except one who knows you and whose knowledge of you is his vision of you. Therefore, he continuously excels in benevolence because he is always watching you, aware of all of your states. Excellent benevolence is the divine law and nothing but this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to one who asked, "For if you do not see him, he is seeing you," which means that if you are not excelling in goodness, know that he is the ever excellent and good, and then be modest and stop for worship as he has ordered you. Because the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knew that worshipping the invisible is difficult on souls. He said, "For if you do not see him, he is seeing you." This means to bring within yourself the sense that he is watching you, which is a type of witnessing from behind a veil, as you get to know that your beloved is watching you. And he hears you from where you don't see and hear him. If we add to this the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Allah is in the Qibla of the one who prays," and his saying, "And the delighting of my eyes was made in prayer," we know that the Messenger of Allah did not pursue intimate conversation with Allah except to witness the one who was intimately conversing with him in the prayer, which was Allah. And this is why he says that Allah is in the center of the attention, the Qibla, of the one who prays. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Worship Allah as if you see him," because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw Allah in his worship. If the seeing had not occurred, he would not have specifically related it to worship and not to action. This means that any worship without clear witnessing or without imagining the right witnessing is not a correct and genuine prayer. And this is why the Messenger of Allah said, "And the delighting of my eyes was made in the prayer," because vision is the comprehension of that which is seen. So when he had this vision of him, his eyes were delighted and rejoiced in what they saw. The Messenger of Allah possessed the vision of witnessing during the state of his prayer. This is also the state of each of us who is in the location that is delighting to his eyes, because he is in the presence of Allah and in intimate conversation with him during prayer. So understand. Know that love does not accept sharing of one's beloved. It's not correct or genuine for the lover to love too, for the heart has no capacity for that. If you argue that it is a possibility, then you are talking from the perspective of loving what is created and not from the perspective of being in love with the Creator. This is expressed in his saying, "He loves them and they love him." He loves many created beings. but love's limit is unknown in relation to the Creator, because there is nothing like unto Him. So the limit of love in relationship to the truth is unknown, except to one who knows the essence of the truth. This cannot be fully comprehended, so the limit cannot be known. But love is known, for He has not spoken to His worshippers, except by their language, and by what they know in their inner beings in regard to everything that He relates to Himself and describes as one of His attributes. But the reality of the attribute is beyond full comprehension. Our saying that love does not accept sharing is in respect to the oneness of the essence of the Beloved, which is not divisible. If the lover's essence were complex, not in the simple state of the realization of the oneness, then his love could be attached in several directions for different purposes. So that if the eyes are for one being, but the purposes are many, then the love can be attached to many things, and this person can love many beloveds. Then, if it is true that the lover can love more than one, it's also possible that the many can love the one. Here's a hidden, subtle secret that is given to the beloveds directly from himself. This meaning exists in the eyes of each of them. Know that there are two reasons of love. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "Indeed, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. And we are spontaneously lost in love by His saying, 'Beautiful.'" The lovers are excused for being lost in this way by such a statement. A lover does not see his beloved but as the most beautiful in the entire world. This means that he really loves what is beautiful to him. And this is because beauty is loved for itself, not because of the vessel that carries it. Allah is the maker of the world, and He is the Creator, and He made it in His image. He is the beautiful, and so the entire world is in the utmost beauty and has no trace of ugliness. Allah assembled it in complete excellence and beauty. There is no possibility that it could have been better or more excellent than it is. If that were a possibility, then He would have brought it into being. But He has brought that which is everlasting. If anything were lacking, then His creation would not be perfect, and it would be ugly, coming from an ugly and non-perfect being which does not befit Him. He has explained this to us in His saying, "Our Lord is the one who gives everything its form and function and then guides it." Quran 20:50. If it were not for the beauty of the truth, no beauty or excellence would have appeared in the world, and the pre-existing and everlasting beauty of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified and majestic is His epiphany to Jali, would not have been recognized. The other reason for love is excellence, ihsan. The majority of His worshippers love His excellence towards them. for the excellence, ihsan, is what is witnessed by them. For there is no excellence except from Allah, and there is no real excellent, benevolent one, al-muhsin, except Allah. If you love excellence, then you love nothing but Allah. And if you love beauty, then you love nothing but Allah, because He is the beautiful. In every direction, love is attached to Allah. So whoever loves the world for its beauty, he loves Allah, because He is the creator of the world and the one revealed within it, because He created it in His image. The whole world is His beauty, and this is why corruption of the world in opposition to what Allah sent down upon His messengers is not permissible. For they are His loved ones who carry His message to all people to bring creatures out of the layers of darkness to the light. They are the carriers of the message of unity, mercy, peace, love, freedom, and justice. Because the world is made in the image of the truth, and the individual human being is made in the image of the truth, the human being is in the presence of the comprehensive name. The human is like the mirror of the truth. The truth reveals Himself to the lovers and the Gnostics in the creation, and He is the one revealed in the image. This leads to an attachment to the universe for the epiphany, tajalli, that is manifested in it. The yearning of the Gnostic and the lover for the vessel of the epiphany is for the epiphany itself, not for the vessel. The Gnostic passion and attachment is for the epiphany, not for that to which the epiphany is revealed, except that it is related to the epiphany, as in the case of being attracted to the house where the beloved resides, not because of the ordinary material house itself, but because it is the house of the beloved. The genial affability and cordiality, uns, of the people who believe in one God, Al-Muhadin, with the Lord of the worlds, of all the worlds, Rabbil Alameen. Footnote for the word uns. The Arabic word uns, pronounced uns, has the meaning of a faithful friend who is always with you. It has the sense of belonging, being comfortable, and it is usually translated as intimacy. Know the genial affability and cordiality, uns, of the knower, al-arif billah, with his Lord, is of the quality of one who does not see anything in the formed universe but Him. The knower does not see anything else besides the one who is in charge of him. This is because he is cordial and affable with the knowers, and he sits with them in mansions of contentment and in pastures of excellent benevolence. For the intuitive, genial affability and cordiality is imbued with the love of the qualities of excellence, goodness, and contentment, and with the lofty vision of Allah. If thought is purified and intuition is abstracted from the traveler, the salik, and if the voluntary is discerned from the ordained, then you know the genial affability and cordiality and its extent, and you know the self's obligations as it empties itself of all desires. But if the voyager seeks genial affability in the wilderness of creation, he is confused, distracted by the roughness and repulsion of the creatures dealing with him in accordance with their soul's preparedness. For each creature stands by himself without the collective humanity. In turn, he will say, myself, myself. So if the traveler deals with the creation, he should know that the creation is no more than an idol that cannot affect a change or be of benefit. And so if you, as a voyager, seek genial affability with humans rather than the creator, you will fail to attain genial affability and cordiality. If a witness sees the Sheikh's success comes from his own ideas, and that he is busy with himself and his family, then let this traveler blame none but himself, for he seeks genial affability and cordiality in the Sheikh, instead of seeking it in the truth, al-Haq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sheikh is a way, not the goal. So whoever is attached to him as a goal and gives him a rank higher than his own, then he has sought genial affability and cordiality from the creation and has negated the genial affability and cordiality of the creator. In reality, it is Allah who is the true possessor of everything, and everything but him is annihilated. You do not find all the creatures affable and cordial. Rather, you find some of them repulsing and repulsive. This is the quality of those who escape to the mountains and deserts and get tired of the walking and striving of the journey. If the voyager seeks genial affability and cordiality from another creature like himself, indeed, one day he will retreat from the person and even be repulsed by him. For such a person is not the ultimate goal, for the station of genial affability and cordiality or intimacy, once. So understand. Know, and may Allah support and confirm you by a spirit from himself, that he originated the particular essences of the creatures from himself and to himself. And when the connection of these creatures with him is severed, these particular creatures do not realize that their real genial affability and cordiality is with him, and so they do not attain it. This is because there's no suitable way for the created to know the divine entity or identity, the hawiyah, of the creator by stopping their consciousness in the lower world, the dunya of humanity. The creature must abandon the lower world and ascend to the level of the unifying oneness, to actually be conscious of the real genial affability and cordiality of the creator. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in genial affability and cordiality with himself, in an actualized station within his very essence. On the other hand, people claim that he is their genial, affable, and cordial companion, yet they are at a standstill with their own egoistic selves and humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have not appreciated Allah as he ought to be appreciated, because true genial affability and cordiality comes according to the degree of gnosis, sincerity, and truthfulness. Gnosis has genial affability and cordiality that psychological human knowledge cannot comprehend, for the latter is from the realm of illusion and metaphor. But the one who seeks genial affability and cordiality with Allah in accordance with his understanding, energy, and capacity, will succeed in his pursuit of Gnosis and will be distinguished in his appreciation of his self, the ultimate desire of tasting. The voyager does not know that the station of genial affability and cordiality, makam al-uns, is higher than the station of expanding delight, makam al-bast. So he mixes the two in a single color, in spite of the difference between the two stations. The station of genial affability and cordiality, uns, this amusement does not leave except with the permission of his protector. The Gnostic self in the station is roped, consumed without return to the self, and there's no corruption within this level. This type of genial affability and cordiality is attained after long standing patience and majestic contentment. In his genial affability and cordiality, Unz, he's the master of his time, connected with his Lord. Every moment spent in this delight is equivalent to that of the lower world and the final abode together. On the other hand, the possessor of the station of expanding delight, Albast, could be the possessor of a moody station mixed with contraction, Kabdat, because he's still an illusion, drinking from the inclination of his self and his illusion, but claiming to be in genial affability and cordiality with his Lord. How far apart are the two stations? The people of realization of the truth, in actuality, Ahlu Tawqiq, know that the divine loyal friend, Wali, does not feel genial affability and cordiality, Unz, in the expansion of delight. And they know that there is no genial affability and cordiality, Unz, except in passing through the expanding delight, Alabast, through sincerity and truthfulness with Allah. And there is no sincerity without truthfulness. So the best cordiality, Unz, is that which manifests directly from majestic divinity without an appointed time. This is the highest level of cordiality, Unz, because it is one of the hidden treasures of the truth with which he promised the possessors of true happiness who are faithful to Allah and sincere in everything they do and who wish only for his contentment. Know that forging genial affability and cordiality is not a sign of actual genial affability and cordiality, for such a station is in the annihilation into that by which one is amused. Let it be a created being or the creator, but the annihilation into the created results in no benefit. If you then ask, what is the reality of the genial affability and cordiality? I say, it's the cutting of all attachments by that which causes the yearning and longing, the solitary confinement with the everlasting. It is in his overpowering you and your possession of him. It is the salvation from him to him and the escape from him to him. It is the escape from the pictures of solid forms to the delightful expansion of witnessing Ash-Shuhud. It's the annihilation of the fond lover in the beloved who inflamed him. Know, my beloved, that matter has overpowered, possessed, owned, transgressed, allured, and deceived many. Do you not see how solid forms are worshipped rather than Allah, the One Al-Wahid, the Suppressor Al-Qahhar, the Possessor Al-Malik, and the Almighty Al-Jabbar, Iblis of the time says, I am your Most High God. He kills the worshippers of Allah and spreads corruption widely throughout the earth. There is no genial affability and cordiality once except by Allah. For true genial affability and cordiality once is arrived at through meaning, not through outer physical appearance. The true escape is to the Creator, where the pure genial affability and cordiality once will be translated by your limbs, which will testify that there is no sufficiency and tranquility except in one's complete inclination towards the Creator. This is why, my beloved, you should prostrate and come close in humbleness to the one in whose domain you are no more than an atom or a thought. How weak you are by what you say, and how powerful you are by the power of your Lord. So be with him, and do not be with your egoistic self, nafs, or with your illusions, wam. He deals with you in accordance to wisdom, and he will make you no hope in him. Through gnosis, he veils you from your fear and from sensing the reality of his majesty. And he makes you fear him when he veils you from the reality of his beauty. Thus be the worshipful slave of meaning, not the worshipful slave of sense and illusion. Only then will you understand the language of your Lord and know that he loves you and gives you his special attentive care, inaya. And only then will you hear the call of the truth. If the eyes of godly attentive care are observing you, then sleep peacefully, for all fears are in reality security. Brings us to page 99, where we'll pick up on next recording. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.